Next item on the agenda is Demeter J. Georgiadis. I hope I didn't butcher that too badly. Docket number 071432.
This is the guy.
Good job, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
Proceed, please, sir.
Commissioner Bowman, Associate Commissioners, good morning. We have another appeal before us today. This is Demeter Georgiadis is appealing the decision by the Lancaster County Wetlands Board at their September 13, 2007 hearing to deny his application to install 120 linear feet of quarrystone riprap revetment on a coastal primary sand dune at his property situated on the Rappahannock River in Lancaster County. In keeping with commission past actions, I have some aerial photographs and maps I'd like to introduce.
Orientation.
I would not consider that, as well as some ground shots.
Fine.
Project is located here. I got a double red arrow between Windmill Point and the Norris Bridge on the south-facing shoreline of the Rappahannock River in Lancaster County. Just a little closer view. This older topographic bathymetric chart actually shows a sand bar offshore of the actual shoreline. This is no longer present and eroded due to storms. Just recent Google. It's about the best we can do up in the Northern Neck with Google. 2002 from our series that gives you an idea of the reach of this shoreline and the sandy nature and the orientation and exposure. This would be Deep Hole Point here and the subject property in red arrow. Just a little closer view. This is Mr. Georgiadis' house. The shoreline, there's an adjacent revetment that will show up on the ground shots. And then recent aerial photographs showing that same area. Note the sandy nature of the shoreline along most of it. A little different angle. A little closer view. Again, the board did not have the benefit of these aerial photographs, but the board members all go out to every site and are familiar with the area in general. These are the project drawings submitted by the applicant as part of the project. This is the plat of the property. North arrow here, the shoreline along here. 100-foot RPA is shown on the plat. Now we've changed orientation a little bit. No, we haven't. I'm sorry. Yeah. Mean low water, mean high water, the toe of the revetment, the back face of the revetment, and a note that they would backfill and vegetate the area landward of the proposed revetment, tying into the adjacent revetment. Section view showing high water some 10 feet out from the toe of the proposed revetment, buried toe, the revetment going up on the existing dune, and backfill and grading the area behind the proposed structure to recreate or transplant the relocate or transplant the dune. Again, ground shots. You can see these stakes representing, this is now looking upriver or west. The adjacent property has a revetment on it. Toe of the proposed revetment, back of the proposed revetment, and note the dune vegetation here. Looking the other direction, downriver now, again, the toe of the structure, the landward edge of the structure. And then one shot looking kind of from the beach back to the river through the dune up to Mr. Georgiadis' property, home. And last aerial, I'll just leave that up there for orientation. The project is, again, on the south-facing shoreline. There's approximately a 40-mile fetch to the southeast to the mouth of Chesapeake Bay, about a 4-mile fetch due south to Middlesex County, so it's a very exposed area. It's been subject to significant alterations recently as a result of both Hurricane Isabel and Tropical Storm Ernesto. Along the reach, as you saw from the photographs, most of the properties are either have groins or are just bare sand, and there are some areas where there are some revetments. The subject application was considered twice by the Lancaster County Wetlands Board. Mr. Georgiadis, and I'm going to apologize because I know I'm going to mess it up sooner or later, his letter of appeal dated September 20, 2007, was received on September 21, 2007. As a result, the appeal was considered timely under the provisions of the code. And in his letter, he states the board did not fulfill their responsibilities to accommodate necessary economic development. They did not take into consideration his testimony regarding the preservation of his property. He also states that the project conforms with the standards prescribed in Section 28.2.1408, which is the Dunes and Beaches Ordinance, that the board ignored portions of the VIMS and SEAS reports, and that they denied his project because, I quote, if we approve the project, it would be a violation of the Dune Ordinance. Mr. Georgiadis indicates that he was not mailed anything after the August 9, 2007 board hearing, the first hearing, which would tell him what to do, nor was he asked to waive his rights to a timely hearing since the board deferred their action until their next public hearing in September. I have attempted to summarize the minutes that were sent in by the board from the two meetings. They did not send a verbatim transcript. The meetings are taped. From the tape, the staff develops minutes, and those minutes have been approved by the board. Those are in your packet. Items 5A for the first meeting and item 5B for the second meeting. And again, what I have in the evaluation is a summary of those minutes, those approved minutes. On August 9, 2007, the Lancaster County Wetlands Board held their first hearing on Mr. Georgiadis' request to install a stone revetment on a jurisdictional beach in sand dune at his property. During that hearing, Ms. Revere, chairwoman, read portions of the Commission's Coastal Primary Sand Dunes and Beaches Guidelines and the VIMS Shoreline Permit Application Report for this project into the record. She noted that since the project would result in 1,440 square feet of impact to the beach dune area, according to the VIMS report, that compensation would be required if the board approved the request. Board member Al Anderson asked the applicant and his agent who were present about the need for the project. Mr. E.D. Cockrell, his name is in the minutes misspelled as Conklin, agent and marine contractor for the project, stated that he had previously installed a riprap revetment on the property immediately to the west, upriver, and this proposal would simply tie into that revetment. To do so, however, the dune would have to be removed. Mr. Georgiadis addressed the board and stated that the proposal was needed to protect his property from erosion and noted that he had lost 8 to 9 feet of his yard. He stated that he was willing to replant a relocated dune if that were necessary. Marshall Sebra, Environmental Codes Compliance Officer and staff to the board, indicated that the Corps of Engineers had determined this area did not support the federally endangered northeastern beach tiger beetle, and therefore a Corps of Engineers permit was not required for this project. It was above high water out of their jurisdiction. Mr. Cockrell, again, Representative Conklin in the minutes, stated that the dune did not exist until after Tropical Storm Ernesto pushed sand up onto the property. Board Member Anderson then noted that since the sand was left undisturbed and it had now become vegetated, it was considered a dune, jurisdictional dune. Chairwoman Revere again reiterated dunes were not to be impacted if it could be avoided and suggested following the VIMS report and moving the revetment landward of the jurisdictional dune limits. Mr. Cockrell acknowledged that he could put the project behind the dune, but he would have to reconfigure it and send in revised drawings. Member Anderson then moved to table the project to provide the applicant an opportunity to submit those revised drawings for a better plan of action. That motion passed 4-0. At the following meeting in September, the board continued their review and discussion of the request. Neither Mr. Georgiadis nor his contractor were present at that hearing. However, Mr. Georgiadis' agent, Ms. Carla Havens of Mid-Atlantic Resource Consulting, was present and represented the applicant as his agent. Chairwoman Revere and Member Anderson recapped last month's meeting, the August meeting, and stated that the board had tabled the item to provide the applicant an opportunity to come up with a more suitable plan of action that would not destroy the jurisdictional dune. Chairwoman Revere noted the applicant had the Department of Conservation and Recreation's Shoreline Erosion Advisory Service SEAS look at the proposal and provide their advice on the request. That was done subsequent to the August hearing. Between August and the September hearing, they had SEAS out there. Member Anderson noted that it was an opinion of the original proposal and did not constitute a revised plan, which was what the board had asked for during their August hearing. Board Member Wayne Cannon noted that the VIMS report offered alternatives, including a marsh tow revetment to protect the existing dune. Ms. Havens then addressed the board and brought up three issues. Number one, she stated that she was not notified of the board's action at the August meeting. She acknowledged, however, that both Mr. Sebra and VMRC staff had told her verbally that the application had been tabled to provide an opportunity to modify the request to avoid the dune impacts. Two, she stated that she met on-site with Seas, and during that visit, Mr. Van Landingham from Seas recommended an offshore breakwater with beach nourishment and suitable vegetated planting as an alternative. When she stated breakwaters were too costly and not what her client wanted, Mr. Van Landingham told her, and I quote, "A riprap revetment is a valid choice." Her third point is she stated she had 10 years experience with the Dunes Ordinance working with the City of Norfolk Wetlands Board, and this was no different than the Wetlands Ordinance. If impacts were proposed, then people needed a permit. Ms. Haven stated the board was probably uncomfortable about issuing dunes permits since they don't usually issue them. In her opinion, the process was no different than the Wetlands Ordinance process, just a different section of the state and local code. Chairwoman Revere then responded that the ordinance clearly stated there should be no disturbance to the dunes. Ms. Haven stated that subsection 4A of the ordinance listed 12 exemptions where someone could alter a sand dune. Member Cannon asked if the applicant would consider a trapezoidal structure of breakwater, and Ms. Haven said her client did not want such a structure. Chairwoman Revere stated she could not see how the board could approve complete destruction of the dune. VMRC staff then clarified that if the revetment were placed behind the dune, revised drawings would still be required and that a permit from the board would be required if the structure was still within the landward jurisdictional limits of the dune. Ms. Haven said a revetment behind the dune would not protect the dune. Member Cannon stated that Tropical Storm Ernesto only benefited the applicant by increasing the dune. Member Anderson then stated that the applicant was asked for an alternative plan in August and one was not submitted. He then moved to deny the project as proposed on the basis that it would be a violation of the Lancaster County Sand Dune Ordinance. He stated that the applicant could appeal that decision to VMRC. His motion unanimously passed 5-0. In summary, in recommendation, staff was present at both the August and September hearings. Based on that attendance, we do not agree that the board failed to fulfill their responsibilities pursuant to Chapter 14, Coastal Primary Sand Dunes and Beaches of the Code of Virginia. We also do not believe that the board exceeded their jurisdiction based on the VIMS report. We do believe, however, that the board properly noticed and held both meetings lawfully. At the August hearing, the applicant was told in person that his request did not meet the provisions of the ordinance and that direct impacts to the dune should be avoided. The item was tabled to give him an opportunity to come back with a more suitable plan after consulting with his agent the following month. There is no requirement to individually notify an applicant's agent when the applicant and his contractor were present at that hearing. Dunes, by their nature, are somewhat ephemeral, but the dune in question has become naturally stabilized with vegetation and is currently providing the applicant with some degree of shoreline protection. Staff believes the applicant has alternatives to further protect his property without destroying this valuable resource. He can install a breakwater in front of the jurisdictional dune and beach or an upland revetment behind the dune. The board clearly offered those alternatives to the applicant at both hearings. He chose not to pursue either. As a result, and based on staff's review of the record, we believe the Lancaster County Wetlands Board fulfilled their responsibilities under the ordinance and did not substantially prejudice the rights of the applicant to protect his property from erosion using other less damaging alternatives. Based on the foregoing, we recommend that the Commission uphold the board's denial of application number 071432.
Thank you, Mr. Woodward. Any questions for Jay from the members of the Commission? Mr. Tankard.
Yes, it was mentioned in testimony that Mr.
Georgiadis, I believe.
Georgiadis, thank you very much. Had lost 8 to 9 feet of his yard. Was that because the dune had come into his yard, or was that real loss in what you saw, your opinion?
Well, the minutes reflect that was what his statement was, that he had lost 8 to 9 feet.
Right, I saw.
My recollection was that he had lost 8 to 9 feet as a result of, I believe, Ernesto, but it might have been both Ernesto and Isabel.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you. Is the appellant here? Mr. Georgiadis?
Yes.
Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. morning, Mr. Commissioner, members of the commission.
You solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, shall be God.
I do.
State your name, please.
I'm Carla Havens with Mid-Atlantic Resource Consulting.
Jim Georgiev.
Pleasure to have you all here.
I will try to make this as brief and clear and concise as possible. And Jay, thank you for your presentation. I would like to point out that I really feel that the board limited its review to environmental consequences only, which it's not supposed to do, and it did not follow the procedures outlined in the Coastal Primary Sand Dune Ordinance. Jay went over the minutes. They are condensed. They're not verbatim, and there are a couple inaccuracies in there. One of the inconsistencies is on page 1-2, paragraph 2. It's the VIMS report. I just want to point out that it also stated that the proposed revetment may be the most suitable structure for this parcel. It seemed that the board just ignored that statement. They concentrated on the other part of the VIMS report, which should be in your packet. So VIMS clearly stated that it may be the most suitable structure for this parcel. Additionally, on page 1-3, paragraph 1, where it discusses Mr. Georgiadis not wanting a breakwater because it isn't suitable for the site, we met with C's, and part of the reason why the breakwater is not appropriate is the beach profile is so steep that to do a breakwater structure, even at mean low water, the change in grade up to the dune is so great that your breakwater would need to be 6, 7, 8 feet high. And Mike Van Lanningham of C's confirmed that after we had discussed it, that perhaps it wasn't the most suitable structure, that during a storm event, the waves would clearly overtop an offshore breakwater or a breakwater structure at low water and still erode away the dune. So it wasn't going to solve the sort of erosion problem that Mr. Georgiadis has experienced. Additionally, in the minutes and in attendance of the hearing, you'll note that the Lancaster Wetlands Board has a strong discomfort with the dune ordinance. I don't know how many dune projects they've reviewed in their history, but they certainly felt uncomfortable with it from what I detected. And it's clear that they don't understand what the definition of a coastal primary sand dune is. To move a proposed structure from the front face of the dune to the back side of the dune was one of their solutions. And I tried to explain to them that it's not taking the stone or the revetment out of the dune system. It's simply putting it on the back side. And when those erosive waves come in, it's going to scour the front of the dune and the stones will simply collapse into the void created where the sand is missing. So putting a revetment on the back side of the dune is not going to solve the erosion problem. Additionally, moving the revetment further landward towards Mr. Georgiadis' house isn't going to solve the problem either. Once you go over the dune, his property is lower in elevation than on the dune side, so a big mound of rocks would basically be like a secondary coastal primary sand dune, only it would be made out of Class 2 stone. So that's not going to solve the erosion problem along the beachfront as well. And that basically addresses page 5-9-2, paragraph 10's inconsistency. Again, the decision did not weigh the public and private benefits of the project, particularly the protection of Mr. Georgiadis' property. And the board did not make a determination within 30 days. The application was mailed June 18th. I presume they received it by the 22nd, the latest. They had 30 days, and they did not ask Mr. Georgiadis to waive his rights to a timely hearing at the August hearing, resulting in greater than 30 days for a decision to be made, which I understand the application should be deemed approved. Mr. Georgiadis was never provided anything in writing as a result after the August 9th Wetlands Board hearing explaining what the board was requiring of him. In conversation, I spoke with Jay and with Marshall Zebra, and it was my understanding that we were supposed to consider alternatives to the revetment. That's why we called C's. the Lancaster Wetlands Board seems to hold a whole lot of weight in what Vims and Seas said. So we called Seas, we got Mike Van Lanningham out there, we discussed a number of different options, and bottom line is, as Jay stated, that you will see in the Vims assessment, Mike said, a riprap revetment is a valid choice. Those are his exact words.
But where would the location of that specific riprap revetment be that he was discussing?
As proposed, above the high water line, as proposed in the drawings that you have, above the mean high water line.
I'm talking about in the VIMS report. How did you interpret the location of that revetment in the VIMS report?
The VIMS report is based on the drawings that were submitted by me.
Right.
Karen Doering of VIMS, right, if a shoreline structure is also considered necessary, then the proposed revetment, so what we state, may be the most suitable structure for this parcel.
Okay, thanks.
And I'll leave it at that. Mr. Georgiadis is present if you have any questions for him.
Would you like to say anything, Mr. Georgiadis?
Just a few things. Worked all my life.
Can you come over here by the microphone so we can pick that up,
sure.
Please? Thank you.
I've worked all my life, and this property is an investment that my family and I have put together. And, you know, you talk about the dunes being the natural resource and the primary resource. Well, the primary resource on this property is my home, my land, and my family. And that's all I'm trying to do, is protect that investment. And by putting in a riprap, I believe I can protect that investment. Sat through Ernesto, Isabel, and they state in the report that the sand dune is, and the grass is protecting my property. It's not. Believe me. And if you take a look at the sand, that sand wasn't there. It was brought up. Isabel brought it up. Now, had I known all of this, I would have moved it back when there wasn't any grass on it. Now there's grass, and it's really, you know, some of the drawings are misleading because your shoreline comes up like this, and then it's flat. There is no dune. There's grass growing on top of the sand. There's no dune as you know a dune. It's sand property. And all I'm asking for is the right decision to be made, a humanitarian decision concerning someone's life and their property. So,
thank you. Any questions? I do have Mr. Georgiadis,
sure.
One question for you. During the course of those two storms, how much damage did you incur up around the house or in the house or any flooding? Any flooding in the house?
You can use this arrow.
Okay.
That way they can pick you up.
That's fine. Okay. This sand that you see here.
Yes, sir.
There was nothing. This was all was beach down here. Ernesto brought the sand all the way to the house. I had to push the sand back, and I got it back to this point here. Should I have taken it? Sorry. Whoops.
That's okay. I got the point. Thank you.
Okay. Should I have moved it back? Probably so. During Isabel, there was no grass. The grass was gone again. The grass, I understand dunes. I had a place in Hatteras. I know what dunes are and how important they are. This serves no function in terms of protecting my property.
Okay.
And after Isabel, the grass was gone. Had I proposed the revetment at that time with no grass on the sand, there may have been a different decision.
Any further questions? Follow up. Thank you, sir. Is the Wetlands Board here represented?
No, sir.
Good answer. Okay. Thank you. Go ahead, Paul.
Could I ask staff a couple questions?
Yep. Mr. Josephson.
Does this mound satisfy the definition of a sand dune in the sand dune guidelines?
If I could, I would like to defer that to VIMS.
I was going to ask if we could hear from them as well. So that's okay. State.
There are definitions. The definition has slopes and things of that sort.
Mr. Jefferson, this would meet the definition of a primary coastal sand dune as defined in the Act. Also, we're talking about a beach, so...
That was going to be my next question.
This was in
treating this as a sand
the board's
or a
jurisdiction.
Beach, which are supposed to be, you know, treated similarly.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Follow-up question, if I could. We were talking about the revetment in the VIMS report as proposed. I'm still a little unclear what that means. Can you help me out a little bit with that?
Commissioner Bowman, I appreciate the opportunity to come up and make some clarifications this morning to our report. There have been some things that have been said regarding what we've said, and I've taken the opportunity today to ask a couple of the marine scientists that work in the VIMS Wetland Advisory Program to come down to the Commission, because they are intimately familiar with these projects, and I'd like to take the opportunity, if it pleases the Commission, to introduce Karen During. She's our marine scientist who has followed this application, and I'd like her to answer your questions if that's agreeable.
Has she been before the Commission before?
I believe so.
I thought so.
Okay. First time.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Karen, were you sworn this morning when I swore everybody else in?
Yes, sir, I was.
Okay. You're under oath. Proceed.
Yes, I conducted a site assessment for this project, as I do all the projects before the Lancaster Wetlands Board, and I am the author of the report before you. And in hindsight, the choice of words I used probably did not clarify the situation or my interpretation of this particular site. I do say in the report, it does stand for itself, that the proposed revetment may be the most suitable structure for this parcel. In hindsight, what I meant to say was a revetment, cited in the least intrusive manner possible. But I did not say that in the report. It's also my professional opinion that a structural method of protection is warranted in this case, in addition to the protection provided by the dune. I agree with the applicant's assessment that the existing dune feature, although it is jurisdictional, offers limited protection given the exposure and potential risk of this property. You'll also note in my VIMS report the first alternative we prefer in cases like this, where you have a home about 100 feet landward from this revetment area, is to relocate the structure if possible. This is a large two-story home, and I understand that relocating these structures is not easy, but we are beginning to provide that as an alternative to be considered in cases such as this. Having said that, the next alternative we prefer to see would be to enhance the existing beach and dune feature with either beach nourishment and or dune enhancement, additional plantings, then consider structural methods, such as an offshore breakwater system, which incorporates the beach and dune into the protection strategy. However, in this case, it was my professional judgment that with only 120 feet of shoreline to work with, existing revetments to the west, that the offshore breakwater system may not be able to be properly designed. I was not aware of and did not have any information about the beach slope that the applicant referred to, and which is also a design consideration that has to be made for breakwaters to be effective.
Any further questions? Thank you, ma'am. Matters before the Commission for discussion and action. I think it's, Carl, it may be a benefit at this point to reiterate that we're here to review whether or not the Wetlands Board fulfilled their requirements under the Coastal Primary Sand Dune Act, and not to supplant our judgment as to whether or not their decision was right or wrong, unless it's totally in contrast to the record at hand. Is that correct?
Yes. Code Section 28.2-1413 has basically two subparagraphs, and the first one deals with you can modify, remand, or reverse the decision if the Wetlands Board, in reaching its decision, failed to fulfill its responsibilities under its zoning ordinance. But then the second one is the substantial rights of, in this case it would be the appellant, have been prejudiced because the findings, conclusions, or decisions of the board are basically legally erroneous, and there's the subsections there are in violation of constitutional provisions, in excess of statutory authority or jurisdiction, made upon unlawful procedure, affected by other error of law, unsupported by the evidence on the record, considered as a whole, or arbitrary, capricious, or an abuse of discretion.
Any questions of counsel? Matters before the commission for action. Mr. Tankard.
I can certainly sympathize with the applicant in this case. At the same time, when we have to consider that we are assessing whether or not the Wetlands Board upheld its jurisdiction, I would say they did. There is this chance that they could have, that the applicant could have used upland revetment, so that's a choice that was not taken by the applicant. So thus, I say that we should uphold the Wetlands Board decision.
Is that your motion?
Yes, it is.
Motion made by Mr. Tanker to uphold the Wetlands Board of Lancaster decision. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Fox. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion carries unanimously. Thank you all for a very good presentation. Next item on the agenda is William P. Bryant, the third, 02-2393. Mr. Stagg, good morning.
Good morning.